Have you heard Snava has a kick-ass app? It's for studying on the go. It's to test your fluency. It's something that's going to help you when you don't have time to sit down and open your Cooper book and just want to take some mock exams and check off questions. The best part, I think my favorite part of the app, is that every Tuesday night and Saturday morning, it comes with a live study group with a BCBA. And yours truly, Casey, is there every Saturday morning at 11 Central Standard Time. And it comes with your subscription, so you get to ask me all the questions in real life. So you should go over and get the app now. Sign up, whether you use Apple or Android or Google, whatever, all we're everywhere now. So thank gosh. But yes, join me. We cannot wait to see you. Love you, mean it. Study notes, ABA.
ABA and a little X right it away. It's behavior, bitches.
Hey guys, it's Leah
and Casey.
I'm so excited for today's episode. And I'm happy that Casey had a drink before it because the vibe was definitely thick.
Very heavy.
Very heavy in here. And I think she was just mad at me for
My house breathing. Smelled like Smith piss.
She's mad at me because I told her house smells like piss. But it's true. And there has to be a Dutch uncle everywhere. And someone has to let
their
friend
know. What the fuck is a Dutch uncle?
A Dutch uncle is like someone who like tells you straight, like, hey, just so you know, your house smells.
Have you ever heard that? Never. A Dutch.
Have you heard it?
A Dutch uncle?
Google it. Dutch uncle, it is someone who like is like straight up with you and like lets you know, like, hey,
calls you on your bullshit.
Like, no, not calls you on your bullshit. Like, I just want to be straight with you. Your house smells like piss. Like, because
Jana, I'm trying. So our guest is here, but stern candid critic. So Liat is apparently my Dutch uncle, which this is getting a little bit more awkward, but that's okay. And I was saying, and I've never had a dog. I got a dog. She is my friggin' emotional support person. So I'm also depressed and not really living my best life. So yeah, I let her poop and piss where she wants because she gives me love and I know that's not right. And so Liat tells me my house smells like piss and I get pissed.
Like, she literally
pissed.
Like, it doesn't smell like piss. I'm like, okay, well, I'm telling you that I smell piss when I come in. And I said it just like that. And she's like, it doesn't smell like piss. I'm like, okay, but I'm telling you what I smell. So that was the conversation. And then, so happy, I was going to get to the next part. You were just saying that Casey's aunt is in town.
Yes. All right. So my aunt is in town. I'm going
to. She also said she smells like piss. The part that smells like
I'm pissed. You two are like ganging up.
Anyway. Okay, go. Now.
Anyways. So my aunt's in town. The first person in my family to visit me since I've moved to Texas. I've been very lonely. Also because I'm going through a lot of stuff in my own personal life with my marriage. And you're my mom. Yeah, she's my mom. So we're happy right now. I just cried for about an hour. And sadness is kind of where you have to sit to get through things. So I'm happy. And right now I'm going to read a review before we bring our guest on who we're so excited about. Let me get it up now.
All right, I will.
You're going to read it?
Yeah.
Oh, do it.
Why not?
You never do that.
I know. I deserve it too. Okay, this is from Queen Elizabeth, but Queen is spelt wrong or just spelt with one E instead of maybe not wrong. Just Queen Elizabeth. All right. Best podcast ever. Absolutely love this podcast. Leon and Casey are great and make ABA terms fun and relatable. Oh, yay. They do this all while making you laugh until you cry, while helping you connect terms with real life. Thanks, girls. Love you.
Mean it.
Thank you so much for that review. That's exactly what we're trying to do. That means we're doing something right. So thank you, Quinn Elizabeth. I love it. And yay.
All right. Okay. So today is also really special because the guests we do have on, I feel this like pressure to be like, all right, Casey, you've been crying. Like, let's just cancel. And I canceled on her a couple weeks ago because I'm like,
Do the same reason.
And I was like, you're going to show up today. Like, this girl, you know, you connect with and she's going to be a great guest. And so I'll do a little bit of a intro. But her name is Gianna Biscontini and I'm probably saying it wrong. So you correct me. I was right. Okay, she's getting thumbs up. Holy shit. I never get those right. All right. She's not only a BCBA, which a lot of you listening are, but a lot of you aren't. She's also an entrepreneur, and she wrote a really fucking amazing book called Fuckless.
It's an Amazon bestseller, in case anyone needs to know.
And I have read it, and I love it. And it's like breaking out of like those 10
myths you tell yourself about a woman of like how to stay in this box. She's also been a nomad and taken time off from social media for a long time and gone about and traveled and just like trying to find herself through everything. And so welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I am thrilled to be here.
Good. So tell everyone like you're a little bit about your journey.
And what you do, because Casey left out like a lot of the
things. No, I left a lot of the things out because I want her to tell it.
Okay. yeah, there's a lot to unpack, I think, about my life at this point. Yeah, I got into behavior analysis, like most of you out there, working with kids with autism, and did that for a while. And really, I think, hit my own edge and my own limit and took that as far as I could take it as a clinician working with the autism population. And so ever since then, you know, I've been on a mission to understand human behavior better. I think behavior analysis can be extremely rigid and isolating if you're not choosing to work with the autism population. And so I've been on a mission ever since to integrate behavior analysis into everything that I do, but not necessarily lead with it. I see behavior analysis as a tool. And so once I kind of stepped out of the industry, I started my own startup. It was essentially, well, I started doing meditation courses for healthcare practitioners.
So that's when I first found you years ago.
Really? Oh my gosh. That's a long time ago.
I have had you on my list since we started the podcast 5 years ago because you were doing meditation through behavior analysis. And I thought it was so cool.
Yeah. I read James Doty's book, Into the Magic Shop. And I read The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. And I read Altered Traits. And that was a perfect storm for me to get out of the industry of behavior analysis and start teaching meditation courses. My entire life has been about well-being. I truly believe we have nothing in this life if it's not for our well-being. And so everything that I've done ever since is surrounding that. So I started doing meditation courses. Through that research, I was realizing the epidemic burnout well before the pandemic when it became sexy to talk about. And so I started work well. Essentially saying, hey, yoga and salad is great. It is not a culture fix. We need to change our environments, not change the people. That was my thing to a lot of folks, not in our industry. And so I did that. A lot of personal challenges during the pandemic, wrote Fuckless, really got into my own skin and have continued. I call it my Taylor Swift life. I'm just eras to at this point,
era, I think, or like some kind of era. I'm not sure if what to name it yet, but I'll find a name for it one day.
The name comes afterwards, like when you can look back and go, "Oh, that was my this era." Like when you're in it, you don't really know, which I think is amazing. You're just be present in that era. And so since then, I launched the book. I've done press tours. I've been nomadic, and most recently, really, I feel like I'm a conduit for what I now do, which is the expanded method, which we can talk more about that, but it's essentially behavior analysis, quantum physics, evolutionary biology, neuroscience, ACT, and it's all kind of like in one model from a therapeutic and coaching healing methodology.
Do you offer coaching?
I do. Yeah, I actually, because I can practice as a therapist through the clinical behavior analysis model, and I also practice using plant medicine under the psychological harm reduction model. And practice as a behavior analyst, more of like I said, the behavior analysis is not what I lead with anymore.
Yeah.
I do have the background in executive coaching and the well-being piece. And so this is really an amalgamation of everything I've done over the last 20 years. And so I work primarily with executives right now doing 6 to 9, sometimes 12-month long programs. And yes, it's coaching, but it's essentially helping to heal the collective through healing the individual leader. And what does that look like? We do theta wave states. We do therapy. We do coaching. It's really me pulling from what I have been so fortunate to have been exposed to and learned and experienced over the last 20 years.
Okay. If I can't say this, we can cut it out, Alan. But I won't say that you dated. But can we say that you like coach Simon Sinek? That's cool.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk about my client list. Through Workwell, one of the best things I ever did was get out of the behavior analytic community, mostly because it was so expansive for me. I'm all about expansion these days. And so when I started Workwell, there's that fear of what if this doesn't work and what if people don't like it? And I thought, well, it's going to be different. And that's all I really want. Different and interesting and expansive. And so through Workwell, I ended up working with people like Simon Sinek and Landon Donovan and Christina Schwarzenegger. And so I've worked with really famous leaders and really famous creatives and everyday folks like you and I. And so what led me to the expanded method and expanded where I work right now is understanding that sometimes leaders are under so much pressure from the public eye, from a professional perspective, and their personal lives are not where they want them to be. And essentially, they can bleed all over the people around them. Yeah. And that can be really dangerous if you're leading a team of people, a giant company, who have influence in this world. And so what I've really enjoyed doing is working with leaders and creatives who are putting so much out into the world and who have so much visibility to say, hey, let's talk about you. Let's do some internal work, right? Let's do some
internal work. Yes.
Yeah. Let's maybe start a microdosing practice. And what does that look like for you?
I need
to microdose. Okay. I just saw a Bloomberg article. Like Elon Musk is he using ketamine or what at work? There's like this whole era, or not era. Now I'm just trying to fit in with Taylor Swift. this whole
movement.
Yeah. That like they're saying like, everyone in these like Silicon Valley companies are using definitely like mushrooms. And what else are they using? I read something. You could tell me. I feel like you're more cool and into it. You know what's happening.
Yeah. So the last 5 months of my nomadic journey was spent in the Bay Area studying plant medicine, specifically psilocybin, because it is legal there in some cities and towns. Yeah. And so you can buy it legally. There are churches where you can buy it. I was definitely getting into the community there and meeting like the founder of Psilocybin SF and going to like the loft parties and hanging out with the media and just like learning more about it, attending tons of conferences on the neuroscience behind it, because that's kind of part of what I do now. And so what's actually being done is leaders and other creatives, people that really depend on that cerebral output, like knowledge workers and leaders, are starting to use plant medicine in a way that allows them to be more expansive and take wider perspectives. That's what, let's just talk about psilocybin because that's what I'm familiar with. When we use psilocybin, it really gets different parts of our brain talking to one another. So we call it entropy. And so entropy, they used to think was a bad thing. It's like, oh, it looks like chaos, like on an fMRI, but it's actually not. It's the different centers of your brain talking to one another. So if you're in a full journey for 6 or 7 hours, you can. It's the reason why you can like smell color, or why you can feel, you know, the air, or why you can hear something that you might taste. Like you can hear a blueberry. Like, oh, that's what a blueberry would sound like. And what you're doing is more centers of your brain are talking to one another, so that when the journey is over, you have such an expanded perspective. And what people are typically saying is, oh my gosh, you know, I went to South by Southwest these last couple weeks, and I believe the CEO of Inc. magazine was there, and he was like, you know, I came out of my journey and I realized I'm such a douchebag. I was like, I'm not the leader I want to be. Like, I can see why people, you know, have not wanted to work with me. So it's just really just a widening perspective and being able to see things from a different perspective, because as behavior analysts, we know we are so socially conditioned. Our environments are so responsible for how we behave, how we show up in this world. And if we can kind of just like let all that fuck off for a little bit, it allows us to get into a completely different world. So through my behavior analytic eye, I look at plant medicine and pathogens, psychedelics, whatever you're going to call them, as changing our inner environments to change our outer environments, because our inner environments are kind of a mess right now, dealing with depression, anxiety, all kinds of different addictions. And so we're behaving in excess, or we're estranging away from things. Experiential avoidance is a big part of that. And so, you know, my work really entails whether I'm using plant medicine or not, I use a lot of expanded consciousness, like theta wave work, conscious work. So if we can get into that inner environment and get into a subconscious state, how does our inner environment change? And then let's work on the integration. You're going to have illuminations from that. And then let's work on the integration, which is how you show up behaviorally different in society.
Dude, I think we need to get mushrooms. I mean, travel to that city where it's legal.
Yeah.
Go to a mushroom.
I'm literally sitting here like, the inner work is so hard. No, but the inner work is so hard. And you show up differently when you don't have those moments of like, wow, I'm vibing at a really, really bad place right now. Right. Like, even the last couple of days, like, you're like, your vibe is heavy. I'm like, I'm depressed. I'm fucking sad. Like, I don't know what I want my vibe to be. I should just go home and get in bed and like literally have no one around me because my
That's
vibe.
Not what I said I wanted your vibe to be.
No.
Like we have to acknowledge it.
No.
It is there.
Right. But no, you're saying like it will change your outer environment if you can control like the inner side. So I've had these moments recently and I don't know what. I think it's the first time I've ever sat alone with my thoughts is that like the entire room will go like, I can't hear anything and I can't see anything. I'll just sit there and be like, whoa. Like it might happen for 5 seconds or 30 seconds. And it's like almost like I'm in a vacuum.
Yeah, that's a trauma response. It can be dissociation. It can be, we have a lot of responses, right? If we're talking behavior analytically, the stimulus is whatever the upsetting or uncomfortable event is. And then our body goes into, as we know, fight, flight, freeze, response.
Yeah.
What does that look like behaviorally, right? And in the method that I use, the expanded method, I see us behaviorally going into excess. Mm-hmm. We buy stuff, we drink stuff, we shop, we overeat, we're just over consuming.
Yep.
To escape that discomfort. And the goal is to get to the other side
mm-hmm.
without having to be in the dark, scary place.
Right? Yes.
And we can try and go under that discomfort by estranging ourselves from it.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I don't want to talk to anybody. We're dissociative, right? Our brains and egos are trying to keep us safe.
Yep.
And I really want to acknowledge for anybody out there who is in this overconsumption or in this estrangement escape, acknowledging it is without judgment. We are biologically programmed to this way.
Yeah.
So acknowledging it without judgment is just a benefit of meditation. It's a lot easier to do. But acknowledging those reactions, because they are reactions, they're not responses. Acknowledging those reactions as you're biologically engineered to behave that way. And then putting some space between you and your behavior is finding a lot of nervous system regulation. And then choosing to go through instead of around.
Yeah.
What's up, guys? If you are studying for your exam, whether it's your BCABA or your BCBA exam, the best thing you can do after studying with us, clearly, is to take our mock exams. We work so hard to bring you the hardest questions with the best feedback. So if you need a mock, we have many. We have full mocks, which are 185 questions. We have a 220 question mock, and we have a lot of mini mocks, fun, relatable ones, and also one specific to the task list. I'm telling you, you won't regret it. So head over to www.studynotesaba.com and get your mock today. Love you, mean it.
It's so interesting, the like overconsumption of like, even I find myself like my behaviors recently of like, I'll order like my Walmart delivery and I'll order all this food and then I'll throw it all in the trash can. Like I won't eat any of it. I'll just order it because I think that's normal. And typically if I was in a better space, I would have probably cooked it and I would have made it and I would have eaten it. But instead I let it sit in the fridge and I look at it and then I'll order DoorDash and be like, oh, I want this. And then I look at my fridge and I'm like, oh, you have all this food. Why did you order extra stuff? Then I'll reorder Walmart and I'll like do these weird behaviors that I'm like walking around my apartment being like, why the fuck are you doing this? And then I'll go into that avoidant where I'm like, I won't speak to anyone in my close circle. I will shut everyone off. I will ignore text messages. I will sleep as hard as I can sleep. And then have these moments of existential where I'm literally outside of my body and I'm there, but I'm like, everything, like I said, goes completely void. Like, and I'm like, where am I? And it's like, I'm in like a spaceship almost. Like I can't hear, I can't see, like what is happening? And then I come back and I'm like, okay, like here you are. yep, it still sucks. This shit still sucks. Like, that didn't help. Or I'll get in the bathtub and, like, take a 5 tubs a day just to, like, be in water, because water is, like, something that, like, I connect with a lot. And there's just so many things that I'm going through right now that I'm learning, and, like, what helps, what doesn't help, what are you doing, what are your behaviors? And she keeps pulling my hands. I'm biting my nails. I know. I have to get them done.
One of her behaviors is nail picking. No, but, like, so bad that it looks so painful.
It is so painful.
There's nothing to pick. So just,
I know, but it feels good to do it.
DRI. Like, so our brain bodies have their own defaults to regulate, to self-soothe, and to keep us safe. And so that there are hundreds of different ways that shows up. But what comes up for me as you're talking is, like, trauma looping, rumination, that kind of, like, overconsumption. We can overconsume thoughts, right, and run through the same thing over and over. Mm-hmm. Stuck in a loop. These are all, I don't think, we like to pathologize it and call it anxiety, depression, OCD, all these things. A diagnosis is very effective for medical reasons, right? You need a diagnosis for medical insurance to cover pharmaceuticals. I think that's bullshit, to be honest. I think there are a lot of pharmaceutical drugs that actually do help people. And I think, just even from hearing from psychiatrists at South by Southwest, they're like, yeah, we're kind of just messing around. It's guessing. It's a guessing game.
Right.
And the model of, let's increase dopamine or decrease serotonin, like, pulling those levers is not working. It's mm-hmm. just not. And so, you know, the work that I think behavior analysis has really helped me understand the environmental play, and also the behavioral play. If let's not focus on a diagnosis or a label or anything like that, let's talk about what your day is like, and watching you go into the excess escape or the estrangement escape, knowing all of it is avoidance, distraction, illusion, right? How's that working for you? It's not, but it's okay. We're going to do that. And then let's go through it, right?
Yes.
We in the West are awful at dealing with discomfort and pain.
Yes.
We are given the message all day, every day, through marketing, consumerism, capitalism. If you're anxious, if you're depressed, if you're not happy in your marriage, if you, you know, are uncomfortable with your body, if any of these things, then, you know, take this pill, buy this thing, drink this thing, eat this thing, or shut up because nobody wants to hear about it. Mm-hmm. And that's a horrible way to treat other humans. That's a horrible way to run this thing we call humanity.
Yeah.
And so, especially in the West, what we do is the discomfort and avoidance and all of that. And then we're in therapy for 10 years and it's like, I haven't gotten anywhere, but I get to talk to someone and release once a week to a therapist. So,
well, I said earlier today, I'm like, therapy does not work for me. And because it doesn't work, it's because I lie and I put on a show for that hour and a half to that therapist. And then Liat will go in, because we did see the same therapist, and she'd be like, did she not tell you really what was going on in her marriage? And I'm like, the therapist's like, no, she said it. She had a supportive husband and she was very happy. And I'm like, and she's like, what the fuck are you paying for this therapist if you just go in and pretend to be somebody that you are not? And I'm like, I don't know. I just, like, show up and put a play on. Like,
so thank you for the
play. I know.
And this is the issue. This is because that's socially conditioned in you somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's, I don't like how this feels. I don't want to show up this way, so I'm going to show up as something different. My question for you would be, let's talk about your earliest memory of having to mask and having to be a certain way or pretend to be somebody that you're not.
Yeah.
And going into a theta wave state where I'm not talking to your subconscious. I'm talking to your subconscious, not your conscious mind, that is socially conditioned. And so if I can slow down your brainwaves and get into an alpha or theta wave state and ask you, what's your first memory of feeling like you had to put on a show? Mm-hmm. Something come up. And we walk through that. And then we do somatic work. Oh, yep. Exactly. Yeah. How are you right now? Right. And it's like, oh God. And then, well, we're in it, right? And so what is your earliest memory of doing that? I can see you're having an emotional reaction right now, which is awesome. That's like when you peel open that door and go, eek, and yeah, everything comes up.
Yeah.
I mean, my clients apologize. They stifle. Watch them on video or in person. I say, keep going.
Yeah.
Let it. This is my next question, is what wants to be seen?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think of, you know, we all learn as behavior analysts, but a kid is like, you know, tugging your shoulder and hey, I want attention. And they're doing it inappropriately and you ignore them. What do we see? We see an extinction burst, right? And so what we have to do is to let that feeling and emotion be seen,
because when it's unearthed and we give it air and attention, there's something. This is where like the quantum physics from me, yeah, up, it actually is gone, or it feels so much lighter when we can see it. And so like, get, you know, step by step is really like getting someone into a different brain space, into a subconscious space where you're in alpha theta wave state. You're a little bit more plastic. You're a little bit more open. We talk about what your earliest memory of is having to feel like you're not enough and you have to be something different and you have to stifle all these things. Then we focus on the release of, yep, keep crying. Like, let's go with that, right? Mm-hmm. Then we get into the body. We get into the somatics of it because most of us try and logic our way through things when we should really be feeling. It's much more effective to feel your way through something. And so I'd ask you, where is this in your body? You know, where?
Well, it's so interesting you say that, the body thing, because we just did an episode and I have been like really focusing on the somatic parts. So like I never like look at where it hurts, but like base of my skull, then it's like one day it's like my lower back and then it's my hips. And like I have to like sit in like pigeon pose or like just open up. And I'm like, now my calves hurt. Why are my calves hurt? I didn't even work out. What is going on in this body of mine? Like, it's just traveling. And I'm like, can I just get to my feet and go out at some point? Like, I just want it to go down. I hope. I don't know.
There's some, well, and this is kind of what that work does, right? It's a really successful byproduct of at least the work that I've done. Mm-hmm. Is I'll get a message 3 days later from a student and say, my back pain. On.
Yeah. Well, remember I told you, like, so I had this lower back pain. I was like, what the hell is going on? I got on my like stair stepper thing and I did like 1,000 steps just to like do something with my body and it disappeared. And I'm like, okay, I had to move through that. And then of course it came back because I'm still not moving through everything yet. And then finding it in a different part of my body. And why is that?
So if you were in a session with me talking about this back pain, it would probably come up in more of the somatic piece.
Yeah.
Data. And so if I would say, where's that enough feeling? Where's that not enough feeling? Where's that fear? Where is it in your body? And you might say, it's in my lower back. And I'd say, what does it look like? What does it feel like? Does it have a shape? Is it, mm-hmm. Are there fringe edges? Is it round? Is it, you know, I'd have you really describe it and like feel into that.
Yeah.
And then, so for example, a session I did the other day, it was like a red hot, like a burning orb in their belly. It was this 60-year-old executive man, back in the in his bedroom, and he was feeling a lot of anger. What it looked like and felt like for him was like a red hot like orb in his little kid belly. Mm-hmm. And I had him take it out of the belly of his little kid and give it to his father. Because that's where it belonged. And it was just really, it was forgiveness. It was acknowledgement of our parents or whoever love us very, very much, mm-hmm. and give us these feelings and beliefs. And so he walked it back to his father. And like, I said, can you imagine yourself seeing and hearing your father receive this? And can you imagine and see and hear yourself saying, I love you very much. And this is yours. And I'm returning it to you.
Wow.
And executive days later is like, I'm writing a letter to my, you know, this person that really helped me out when I was growing up and was such a father figure for me. And I keep thinking about it and this is happening and this is that, like, this is an amazing work. And there's tons of research coming out on the incorporation of somatic work and subconscious work. And then I think the benefit that we have as behavior analysts is to not just enjoy the fact that your student, client, patient, whatever you want to call them, had a great experience and is having these illuminations for days or weeks after this experience. What are we doing about it? How are we grounding into form?
Right? And like creating those self-management strategies and actually implementing them to our own life of like what you said, taking back to even what you just said about what does your day look like, right? Like if I find myself really thinking about it, a lot of it is trying to be productive, but failing at everything, and then pacing a lot, like just pacing back and forth. Like, okay, if I walk around the circle 5 more times, like then I'll go do my emails, then I'll do this. Like, but there's no like joy or like excitement or like anything that has to do with like what makes Casey happy. It's like literally like, okay, I just have to keep going.
And this is, I think, the problem with Western ways of approaching wellness and therapy and improving ourselves is that you're trying to get to the place where you just want to be happy again.
Yeah.
Right. We all are, right? It's the how, that is really tricky. And so it's like, okay, I'm going to walk around 5 more times. I want a quick fix. I'm going to walk around and then I'm going to go do something that makes me happier. And then I'm going to be productive because it gives my life meaning. I'm okay. And it's like, no, you're not okay. And that's okay. We're not okay right now. And okay, there's so much more that needs to be seen, heard, and felt. And that's the dark space. That's going through. And so the expanded method, it's nervous system regulation to get your body into a good space.
Yeah.
Inquiry, what did you see? What, you know, all these questions talking about. And then the intention. What intention? How do you want to show up in your day? I am peaceful. I am powerful. I trust myself. Whatever that is, having that intention. And then moving into the intervention, which is the theta wave work, emotional freedom tapping, ACT, you know, and the components of ACT, whatever that intervention looks like. Through those interventions, you'll have eliminations. Oh my God, I didn't know this belief was running my life, or this event meant so much more to me, or this is all these things come up. Mm-hmm. So we talk about the eliminations and then we get to integrate it. And the integration, when you're showing up differently, going, I did 3 hours of work today. I went for a run today. I felt joy today. You are integrated. Like that is integration in that moment of this would have sent me into a spiral.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago. And now I took a deep breath and was like, I got this. It's okay. And you smiled and moved on because you are healed and coming from a totally different place. And we can't rush to it. We have to go through it.
Yeah.
And that makes people so uncomfortable because we are trained that feeling more discomfort and more pain is a bad thing. And we just want to go to the other side. But the integration is the expansion. That's healing to me.
Yeah. I have like tears, if anyone, like they can't see me, but like tears coming down my eyes. And like, I thought, sorry.
This is amazing. Like
I really thought I'd show up to this podcast and I was like, I always try to be like, oh, just keep it together. Like, Casey, you've got this. Like, and I feel like if I would have done that, this podcast wouldn't be what it is right now because I had to go through this and I'm still going through it every day. But like, it's just something that as behavior analysts, like I know, like for me with like everything, like I have to be in control or I have to fix somebody or something. And if I'm not fixing somebody or something, then who am I? And so now that I'm sitting in it with myself, it's like, now you have to fix yourself. This fucking sucks.
Like, well, identity can be very illusory.
Yeah.
Oh, we build our identities. You know, my identity was I'm a behavior analyst.
Yes.
I see behavior everywhere and I explain most things and we attach to it. And that's why I do not show up. I'm not operating in this industry anymore. It's done so much good for so many people. And my interest is being able to freely use it. And, you know, I've been coming around to the point lately of the science of behavior analysis is one of the most valuable things that we have.
Yes.
Of being a behavior analyst, if you're working outside of the field of autism, is the most useless credential ever. I'm doing a training in Santa Cruz. He's like a really long man in the plant medicine industry.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, Melissa, I think her name's Woolidge or Willie, Lawrence House and Sunny Strasberg, and so they're these amazing practitioners, and so I'm going out to them with them for a week or so. They're giving keys to social workers, to psychotherapists, to pastors, to spiritual folks. There's no CEUs for a BCBA on there, right? We are operating. We're operating in such a rigid box. And then we're going, why doesn't the whole world know who we are and use us?
Uh-huh.
It's like, nobody knows we exist. Nobody knows what a BCBA is. I have to say board certified analyst every time, and now I don't. And so the
no one cares.
Nobody cares. We need it for insurance purposes. If you want to work with kids with autism, get your BCBA. It is the gold standard credential for what we do, and you need it for insurance
purposes. Billing, yeah.
It is. We want that to happen. And you're working at a deeper level. But when I go out and I do talks, I'm not talking about, you know, standard acceleration charts and all of that. I'm talking about the four functions of human behavior. I'm talking about deprivation, satiation, mm-hmm. and I'm talking different forms of reinforcement and punishment.
Yep.
And this is the most, it's so, so, so valuable. But when it comes to this, you know, and if you want to work one-on-one with people or do anything in the autism community, you like even just watching you right now, I'm watching this huge relief, right? Yeah. Most therapists aren't equipped to meet that moment with people because we have a textbook that tells us exactly what to do and say. And so I'm loving the merging that's happening in the well-being and therapeutic space. And so, you know, I just want to honor your authenticity. And I don't think your listeners want perfection from you guys. I think that they want from you ladies is authentic.
To be real raw and relatable if you were just smiling all the time.
Also, Stacey does this. She'll do this, like, she's, like, going through so much shit. Her, like, aunt mom came in town, and she's like, I just said I'm going to be happy with her here.
I'm like, okay, well, that means the rest of us feel awkward.
So we got
like,
to the
we
office.
Know what's going on, and it's like.
We got here, and I was like, let's just work. And I, like, opened my computer, and Leah's like, do you want to talk? And I'm like, no. I'm like, I'll talk after the podcast. I need to be present for the podcast. I have to prepare. And then I came up here and she's like, why don't we just chill and do you want to eat food? I'm like, I don't want food. I can't eat food. She's like, okay, well, what about Chick-fil-A? And I'm like, oh, that actually sounds good. I'm like, on the bag. But
I saw you took one bite.
One bite. And then she's like, and I started crying and we all had this like amazing conversation. But like for me, I'm just so like, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to like ruin like anything that could potentially like mess up like my workflow. But like when I block that, it does mess up the workflow.
Yeah, vibes kind of heavy.
Yeah, the vibes definitely kind of heavy. Yeah.
What I say to people is, you don't need a doctor, you need a plumber, right?
Yes.
Unblock.
Speaking of that, I unplugged the toilet and I cleaned it. Okay. Sorry.
You know, it's being in these and recognizing the blocks. You just named like six really unhealthy limiting beliefs as you were talking.
Mm-hmm.
And so to stop and say, well, let's talk about your environment. Let's be behavior analysts. It's like, let's talk about your inner environment. What is that record you're playing all day, every day that you don't really even know that you're playing? Where did it come from? And let's go back to that childhood piece. Let you be seen. Let the adult you give little you like exactly what you needed in that moment. Like, let's go back. Our brains actually, have you ever had a dream about someone that like that really betrayed you or did something wrong or hurtful in the dream and you wake up and you're so mad at them?
Fuck yeah.
You know, like that was just a dream. Our brains don't know any different. Like when right. I take students into theta wave states, they're awake. They're not hypnotized. They remember everything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But our brains actually don't really know the difference between what happens in that state and what happens in quote unquote reality. So going back to that state and like being with the younger version of yourself that's really hurting, and even the adult version of you that's hurting right now, it's allowing it to all be seen because we live in a world where we don't want to see that and it needs to be hidden.
So I'll have these like dreams, and I totally got this too, but like, and they're not even nightmares because I'm not like having like night tremors, but I'll have these dreams where I'm like back living with my mom. And we're being kicked out of our house and we have like no money. And I'll have to wake up and literally like put my feet on the ground and walk around and be like, Casey, no, you're an adult. You have an apartment. You have a couch. You have a bed. You have like a car. Like, but I have these so often that I'm like, and I live. And when you're in that state and you're having those dreams, like, even if I wake up, I'm like, ah, like, whoa, that was like not. Like, that is not happening. That is not real. But it's so hard to separate because, like you said, like the brain, like, I'm like, that's like subconscious. That's not real.
It's real to your brain right
now. It's real to my brain right then. And I like live in that. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, no, no, no. You are not there. You are not in a shelter. You are not homeless. Like, and it's.
But this is what we tell ourselves to do, right? I'm going to logic my way out of it.
Yeah.
I have a perfectly safe space. I'm okay. I'm not in a shelter. Like, I have enough money to buy groceries. Your body's like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. I don't feel like I have enough.
I don't give a fuck. I'm fuckless.
Last to fuckless. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll get to fuckless. But yeah, you're totally right. Like,
because this is a subconscious thing. And what we do is go, this doesn't make any sense to my logical brain.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I can't be real and I have nothing to learn from it. I just push it away because it's not real.
Right.
But it's very real to your subconscious. It's very real to your body in a very intense way.
Your nervous system.
Yeah. And how can we unearth that and let it see the light of day and acknowledge it and find gratitude in it? Like, what has anybody learned from comfort? right? What does anybody learn from the days that are
like, I love that quote. Alan, catch that. Catch that.
I find so much gratitude for the moments in my life that are peaceful, where I'm at ease, where there's flow, where there's purpose, meaning, and love. And I have learned absolutely nothing from those moments. What I have, the person that I am today, and when you write a book and you do podcasts, everybody's looking at you like, tell me about how awesome your life is and all your mentors and like how things must have gone for you. And I want to talk about the uncomfortable, painful times because that's where all of this was born. Fuckless didn't come from a state of ease and comfort. My business that I run now did not come from a state of ease and comfort.
Right.
So it's realization of there cannot be light without dark and there cannot be dark without light. And let's acknowledge it all and find gratitude for it. And let's find the lessons because those challenging times where you are right now, you're going to come back one day and go, oh my God, I went through that and became this. There was so much gold and goodness, but we're so dysregulated. You know, we're in this, we can't see that, and that's okay. We're not really supposed to. This is an evolutionary process of I'm just releasing and emoting, and this is what my body needs, and I can't, like, my body and my mind are not in sync right now, and it's crazy. Pathologize it and give someone a pill instead of going, wait, this is good stuff. Keep crying. Do you want to punch something? Like, who do you want to help? Like, let's go back to that place that was hurtful for you, and let's see it all and move through it instead of around it, because when you bypass the lessons, it will come back and you miss an opportunity to grow and become a healthier version of yourself.
Well, I'm fucking going through it. So let's get through it. I'm like in the mud of the muddiest mud ever. And
put your boots on, girl.
I'm always like, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Like, that's how I was raised. Like, get over it. Don't talk about it. But I'm like realizing that
the first time in your life, Casey's rug is the biggest rug you've ever seen, like with so much shit under it.
But it's like it's I had to show up perfect.
The rug, they did not have any larger size. She started to deal with it, but it's like amazing because when you deal with it,
I've
it's the only way, like attract no way out
more.
But
also, like, the more I'm open, which is really hard for me, and I know I'll go back in my shell probably tomorrow, and you'll have to pull me out of it again. But like when I open myself up, the amount of people around me that show up are, it's so strong.
Absolutely.
I'm just not used to that.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, because of this, what I'm watching you go through right now is like, I'm not used to receiving help. I'm not used to receiving love. Do I have a belief that I deserve to be loved or do I have to earn it? Like all these things are like, bam, 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 just coming up for you to put on the table and look at instead of masking or instead of like running away from it, right? And it's supposed to be uncomfortable and there's supposed to be discomfort and pain in our lives. I operate under like the Four Noble Truths of Buddhism of like suffering part of life, and we can reduce suffering if we reduce attachment and really do this work and see things for what they are, not what we want to control them to be.
That's my issue, is controlling it. And like, and that's, again, comes from childhood of like having to control everything. And so
if you grow up in a chaotic space,
and
you're being parented by wounded inner children, which a lot of us were.
Right.
You take it on all yourself, right? And that's functional. Like that works well.
Well, that served me a function. Like it got me to where I am at this point in my life that I like have this amazing support system that I didn't even let in. I have an amazing job that I love so fucking much. Like just even like our students passing and becoming BCBAs that are like, I got a call today. And she was crying her eyes out. Like, this test is so hard. And she was just like, I couldn't do it without you and Leah. You guys have changed my life. Like, all those things. I'm like, I need to take that into consideration more than all the negative.
Well, and the negative is there for a reason.
Yeah.
Again, let's not discount
you're right.
Pain and the discomfort, because sometimes that just needs, it's like the elephant in the room, right? How do we make more space in the room for all the good stuff? We move the elephant to a better place, right? You don't want to just like shove the elephant into the corner. We want to like honor it and have reverence for it and have gratitude for it. And that's how we heal so that we can move on and level up. And, no, I'm just going to distract myself and focus on the positive. That's toxic positivity, right? No, just you have so much going on in your life. Like, oh, but you have this, this, and this.
I'm so grateful.
Completely dismisses and dismisses all of the pain you are feeling right now.
Yeah.
Which is not cool. That's not what we want to do, right? We want to see a reverence for it all. And most people that I work with, I think most people that are in pain, feel safe in their bodies. And stuck in this internal system and environment that's constantly trying to regulate and feel safe through one of those two ways, the estrangement or the excess.
Well, I was telling even Leah, like, she's like, where were you on Sunday? I'm like, I don't know. I took like 6 trazodone and I just like slept. Like every time I'd wake up, I'd take another trazodone. Like I just wanted to sleep. I didn't want anyone to talk to me. I wanted everyone to get the fuck off my case. Like stop checking in. Stop asking if I'm okay. I'm fucking okay. And I'm not okay.
Like, fuck me okay. I'm 6 trazodone deep. If I fucking knew, I would call the fucking...
Well, we should be asking each other instead of saying, look at all this positive shit in your life and like, let's discount the things that are painful, is what do you need?
Yeah.
What do you need?
So much. I need to just really just sit with myself and like, but I don't want to sit with myself because when I sit with myself, it all feels heavy. But when I'm around people that can look at me and see me and say, I see this in you, Casey, like you might lie and you might say these things and create these stories in your head about like what is actually happening, but we see you and that hurts. And I get defensive and I get mean and I'm like, fuck off. Like everyone. Like, and then I want retreat and go in my little crab hole, my cancer shell that I am of like my sign. I'm like, no, I'll sit in the tub forever. I don't care. No one talked to me. But it's like,
It makes sense. It's a trauma response to keep you safe. And we need to honor that as such. And work from that place before we can move on. And so, you know, I just want to honor your strength and showing up authentically today.
That was not my plan. My plan was to be like, all right, so tell me about your 10 truths of fuckless. I have a outline written and this is what it's going to be. Okay, so yes. But I feel like you've helped me so much today and like this space that I'm in, and I know that our listeners, like I know if I post anything on social media about me like struggling, they are there for me in a heartbeat. And it's relationships that I've like actually created that they see me even if they don't know me. And when I try to be fake or I try to pretend like everything's okay, I'm not my authentic self.
Yeah, and we're not here to be some sterile, boring version of what's for everybody else. We're here to express and to embrace a full range of the emotional scale.
Why
we have these bodies that can cry and move and release and be so happy and be so and be so depressed and so proud and just really, you know, sitting in the expansiveness of the human experience is what we are, at least in my belief system, is what we're here to do. I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, wow, I did such an awesome job keeping everyone else comfortable. I lived in a way that didn't upset or confuse anybody else, right? I love that people are like, wait, be nomadic? You're 41 years old. Like, you're just going to throw your dog in a car and travel the country? And I'm like, yep. Well, that's what I want to do. That's the authentic wit. And I really, I'm unaffected. You know, I say in the book, like, a fuckless woman or individual is someone who is gloriously and gracefully unaffected by what anybody else has to say around them, because they are so aligned with what is true for them. And when you're so aligned with your own truth, nothing else matters. The people that are confused, the people that are just trying to love you and help you and keep you safe, you're like, thank you so much. So grateful for all of this unsolicited feedback. And I'm doing what I'm doing because it's so aligned for me and so joyful, and it's coming from such a real place.
I needed this more than you know. And I'm so happy that, like,
by the way, therapy could be like this.
These are like a lot of what my sessions look like, right? Where like I ask a proper question, someone starts crying. It's like
literally I spent the last 2 years trying to talk this bitch into like she's like, you don't gotta, I'm smarter than every therapist. Like, it's like
you realize you just got like an hour.
Yeah, you literally
I'm like, what do I owe you right now?
we'll talk later. We'll talk later.
No, I'm definitely going to message you after this. I mean, you are such a special person. I've I think you've been meant to be in my life in a way, because back when I just started my ABA journey, I found you and I was like, one day I'm going to get her on the podcast. I'm going to talk to her. And like, we've had conversations off like the podcast. And today was just like, holy fuck, did I need this? Like, wow. So thank you.
Thank you for your...
My aunt says thank you too to you.
By the way, there's like a whole like show over here. Like Casey and I are sitting on the floor here by the couches. No one can see this. Casey's aunt mom. That's what I'm just calling her, because she really has been
a mom.
Mom in her life.
Yes.
Is crying tears over here behind the camera, like literally like pouring down. So I like keep looking up. Martha down there, I'm watching, like she's sitting
smiling, so
like
happy.
Waiting, like
this is good stuff. Like, this is what it's about, right? And if you showed up today, I guarantee you have so many listeners right now crying along with you, because they're at some weird, painful point in their lives, or you're bringing up something with their own authenticity that's shining within them, going, oh my God, I haven't focused on this. And now I'm just like back in this place. I need to heal this. Like, this is where healing occurs. Right. And if you showed up today, like, everything's fine, let me ask you these questions.
I would have, if I didn't have my aunt here, I know I would have been like, all right. Yep. Okay. So next question on my list to ask you is, what day did you publish your book? And okay, where can people find you? All right.
I already know your exact question. You go through. I want to publish a book. How do you publish a book? I've literally been on a fucking episode with her before where I'm like, wait, there's such more interesting stuff. Why are you asking them how to publish a book? Like, let's talk about the content. This is so Casey. Like, if she has to like be present or something, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Like, if they want to fucking know that, they'll Google how to publish a book. I don't know. Like, really, to start podcast content?
I'm blowing my nose. Sorry.
Like, I don't know if you guys know anything about human design, but I had my design chart read like years ago. It was just so validating. The person reading my chart was like, amazing professional. Like, you're here to provoke and awaken. I was like, so like, tell me more about that. And she goes, you just go right for it. Mm-hmm. Like, what can you unearth in someone, right? Like, what can you illuminate? Like, bringing like that dark up to the light. And that's like one piece of the puzzle. Like, you've been so open. Yeah. And so vulnerable and so real. The entire.
Oh my God. I know, you can't see what? Oh my God. It's like straight up, like, looks like someone got their first period out of her nose.
My nose ring just cut the inside of my nose. I like can't.
Wait, is that a nosebleed or like a cut?
It's a cut.
No, because that's too much blood for a single cut.
Oh my God. Are you okay?
I'm feeling great.
I don't know what's going on right now.
This is like,
I think I'm releasing something somatically right now.
Your body's like, finally.
This is like a 13-year-old wearing a white juicy outfit getting her period for the first time. I can't even look. I'm so weak.
Call the gym teacher. Where's the gym teacher? Go to the nurse.
I'm glad we're not on video because this looks good.
No, this is great.
You're gonna pick Alan. You're on video. This is the realest podcast you guys have ever done. Ever.
Oh, no, my nose ring cuts the inside of my nose when I move it around. It's like annoying. Hold on.
I just have my nose ring out, so I know I'm like, I can't anymore. It's just too much of a stressor.
It's so stressful. Like, I want to pick my nose, but I can't. And then there's like, every time I move it, oh my God, I'm literally bleeding everywhere.
Dude, this is not like a little cut from something. This is legit like a nosebleed.
I know.
You have so many capillaries in your nose. So I think like noses actually might bleed.
Dude, she's holding so much pressure everywhere. You don't even understand the pressure we've been sitting in this pressure cooker. It's a pressure cooker. It burst in the nose.
It burst through my nose. It's just coming out. It's great.
Let it come, girl. Like, there's no stopping it now. Right?
Well, just, it's like coming out of a
full disaster. Is that what it
is? This is not a nose.
That's a nosebleed.
Yeah, that's a nosebleed. That's not a nosebleed. If that is
all right. Anyways, Gianna, I will be reaching out for you for some private sessions. Everyone else should also.
I'll bet you she doesn't do it.
Happy to help.
You see that? You see that? That's from the behavior analyst in me. I'm going to build that MO. I bet you don't do it.
We want a creative, supportive, rewarding environment.
No, I do. It's just like I've literally said her 100 times. So if she does it, trust me, she'll be rewarded.
Yes.
She's drifting.
I know.
She's leaking.
Weird. I'm like,
you should go to the bathroom. No, let's finish the podcast first.
Just be happy. Just be happy.
Everything's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. It's fine.
You guys, don't worry about me.
No, we have to finish the last house.
Anyways, guys, everything's great. Thanks for tuning in.
Anyways, okay, so something I want to ask you is, this is wild. Like, you've not, this is like actual blood. Like,
moving on.
So obviously, like, you know, the behavior analyst we are, we know there's typically an MO. So what got you into, you know, wanting to do, like, it seems like with everything you're doing and the different things you're interested in, like, there's like some like search for like truth or like meaning or like healing of some sort. Like, what is your own story that has, or like background that has like pushed you to like keep looking for these different, you know, truths in life?
I think maybe like a lot of behavior analysts, but definitely like some humans out there, truth has always soothed me, even if it was a hard truth. And so ever since I was a kid, and I think, you know, given our like mini therapy session there, I can go back to my own childhood. And there were probably about 5 years where my parents were planning to get divorced, and they wouldn't tell us, but I'm extremely energetically sensitive. And so from like 8 to probably 12, 13 years old, I would just pick up on like something is amiss. And I didn't love the masks that my parents were wearing. I didn't love the smile through it. After dinner every night, they'd have conversations, and I bought a book on being a detective so I could like get around my house and be quiet. And I was already like a tiny kid. So I would listen to their conversations. I had to know what the energetic shift was in my environment. And I needed an explanation for it that made sense to me. And once I started listening to their conversations, as a really young kid, I was like, oh, they're unhappy. And oh, they're talking about how to get divorced and how to end their marriage. And it was just so soothing to me. I think that would have upset a lot of kids. But just knowing the thing to me, and I think it always has been.
What the hell was going on? Like,
right. There's so much we feel like when we're, whether it's a partner romantically or a business partner or a friend or a family member, we can feel those shifts. We can feel those shifts with people. We know the truth. You know, when you're sitting in your therapist's office going, oh, everything's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she's like, is it? You know, we know the shifts that happen around us, especially women are so incredibly detail oriented and intuitive. And so what I have realized about the truth is that it is the most powerful thing that we have, whether we call it data, whether we call it truth, whether we call it authenticity, whether we call it, you know, our purpose. What is true and real is the only thing that matters to me in this world. And helping people understand what is true and real for them has been extremely catalytic, not only in my own life, but for others. And so when I wrote the book, I woke up, it was October 1st, 2019. I was in the middle of deciding to get my own divorce.
That's my wedding date. Thank you very much for bringing that date up.
Okay, so this is the day that Caroline
is going to be a trip. No, literally. No. I'm just like, well, that was my day I got married at the courthouse.
Were you just about to say that's the day you were contemplating divorce?
This is the day that I was in the middle of contemplating my own divorce. And I woke up and I thought, I don't get to live in my truth in this marriage. And I don't get to grow and expand and show up this way. And I was so angry. And I was like, this is bullshit. Like, a lot of my past relationships were, you look this way, you act this way. You're kind of like, oh, the thing that I, you know, the shiny object that I want, you check all these boxes. I would get in a relationship and then it was like, oh, wait, you want to like start your business? And oh, you want to grow? And oh, you have opinions? And oh, like you're not, you know, I think what men had assumed about me was like, oh, you work with kids. You must be like a kindergarten teacher and like really soft, quiet and nurturing. And I was like, nope. Sorry about that story. I'm not. What I learned through that was I'm not responsible for the stories that other people tell themselves about who I am. And that turned into fuckless because I had realized we have these, and there are, I think, much more than 10 fucks or beliefs, But we have these 10 dominant beliefs about what we're told, and we kind of fall in line around it, because if we don't, then we're not liked, we're not worthy, and we're not right. And we live to be like worthy and right, because that is what, to a large extent, humanity deals with this. I'm appalled and so surprised and thrilled by how many men have written or have read the book and have written me to tell me how it's affected them and how much they love it. I'm still getting messages almost 2 years later from men who are like, I read your book a second time and it's even better the second time. And how can I support you and work with you and, you know, get you to work with my boss and all of that. And so the journey of writing Fuckless for me started with that catalytic moment of, this is bullshit and this is not my truth. And if I'm experiencing this, then many other people probably are as well. And how can I help women and anybody find their own truth and give up these beliefs? And it's not necessarily that the beliefs are bad. If you want to be chosen and dependent and
soft and stifled and the exception and less and soft and small and everything and fixed and sexy but sweet and
yeah, you want to be all those things and that truly makes you happy, then go be those things. I am not here to judge your life or tell you how to live it, but I have yet to run into anybody who has not found at least a couple beliefs in this book that they're like, oh my God, I'm so sick of living into this to keep everybody else happy and comfortable and to keep myself happy and comfortable because I don't want to deal with the punishment from the people around me when I decide to change it. It's extremely punitive. And so that's where everything started and ultimately ended and continued.
My head now, I'm feeling somatically a humongous headache, probably because I just had a bloody nose and I'm crying. But those things that you said, like when I think back on like what I've been through, it's like I feel worthless, but I know that I was worth it. And I was too much for someone. And all the boxes I was trying to check, and this is so funny that you say these because that's what my husband and I, what we say to each other is like, you check all my boxes, you check all my boxes. Bloop, 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 bloop. And in reality, it's like, what were the boxes? I don't even know if we had a list of the boxes, but we would just say it.
You check all my boxes, you fit in my box. Perfect.
I mean, but like the second I was strong and independent and feeling like I'm doing well, I'm like, you know, happy in my business. I'm like, oh, we have this great like adventure we can go on. Like, it was like, nope. Like, and I was like, do I just stay here and fit in this? Or do I like show up as who I like truly am? Like, I'm not going to be like, I am a lot for someone. I know that. Like, and that's going to be okay one day.
Well, but you're also not. You're like, literally, if you're a lot, what blessed be the next person is with me.
But, like, you are like the most like sweet.
No, seriously, you that you're not a lot, and that's the thing. I think that's also
I'm a lot.
Hey, wait.
Yeah,
who gives a fuck about being a lot? Why?
Right.
Is that
no, bad? Exactly. Like, I can be a lot, and it's not in the sense of like I'm a lot. Like, it's a drama. It's like I'm a lot in the sense of like I have a lot of goals and inspiration and passion and like. I want to be something bigger than this box I was in.
And so, what if we reframed I'm a lot to I'm extremely powerful?
Yes, I'm extremely powerful. Like, watch out.
Right. And so when we reframe, when we make that reframe, we tell ourselves a different story. But also, instead of going, oh, I am a lot, I'm so sorry for being too much for you, we show up and say, I'm super powerful. And that's a lot for you to handle. And it's okay that you can't handle that. If you can handle my power, that's okay. I'm going to go find a community or a partner or a business person or a friend who can continue to be powerful because that's a positive thing. And so when we can make reframes and rewrite those stories and actually subconsciously, which is the work I do now, like rewrite those beliefs so we actually believe them, we go from being too much, which when I say like I'm a lot, it almost makes me want to shrink.
Yeah.
It can go into like
I'm like, I'll just go back to where everyone likes me and that's okay. And I'll just, what's going to make someone happy? I'll just do that.
And here's what's happening behaviorally and in the environment when you show up as powerful, right? And this primarily happens with women, I'll say. It reflects to other people how the ways in which they are not powerful. Mm-hmm. When you show up in a certain way and somebody doesn't like it, that's theirs, not yours. it's triggering them and reflecting something back to them that they do not like and do not want to see. And so that's their work to do. And so I've really found compassion when I'm triggering someone or where someone has some issue or something that I'm doing. And thankfully, I rarely incur that. But instead of going, oh, I'm sorry I showed up that way, I should be smaller or should be less or should not, should all over myself, I have compassion for that person and say, I'm triggering something that they're not. Mm-hmm. I've been in that position where some beautiful goddess who has a PhD in neuroscience, who's lived all over the world, walks into the room. And I'm like, oh my God, like, I want to be you. And instead of going, huh, what a bitch, or like finding something that I don't like about her, oh, she's too much, oh my God, didn't see how she is, you know, attention, which we're conditioned to one another, women.
Right.
I love those moments when I'm triggered because I can go, oh, thank you for showing me how I want to show up in this world.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me of my own power.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me of my own truth, mm-hmm. and what is available to me outside some boxes that I still feel like I fit in. Mm-hmm. And so I have an immense amount of compassion for people who trigger me. And instead of biting back, I invite more of those people in my life.
I'm pointing at two people here that trigger me the fuck out of me.
Good. They're like, your mirrors. They're your helpers, right?
I'm like literally, and they know it too. When they do, it's not in a mean way. They like trigger me because they see me and they know that I can show up in a better way. And like, it's just like one of those things, like, you know, when I get snippy with you.
I mean, I'd have to be like a fucking idiot not to. I mean, you're aggressive.
It's like a protection. It's like
we have these containers throughout our lives, right? Whether it's a relationship with someone, a job, a city, whatever. We have these containers that we operate in. When we start feeling like that doesn't fit anymore, or say, you know, a partner is saying you're too much, or why are you cheating? First of all, I love to celebrate that because that's a level up, right? It's like mm-hmm. I'm growing, I'm transcending, I'm leveling up, like main character energy in my own life. I also honor the sadness of like, I'm so sorry that you're not coming with me on this. I'm really sad that you're not coming with me, but that's your choice not to. You're invited to the party, but you're choosing not to come. And third, how can I find joy and love and self-acceptance and self-love in this new space so that I can attract people that only support and encourage that.
Mm-hmm. You are literally speaking to my soul.
Good. Yeah. I'm speaking to a lot of people's souls because we love, everybody else is comfortable with sameness.
Yeah.
Right. I can't tell you how many people, if I talk to a friend, you know, a couple times a year, where do you live now? I can't keep track of you. Are you dating that guy? It's just like with this stain of like, you change so much and I don't like it and I can't keep up with you. And it's like, okay, then you don't have to keep up with me. Like, look at my Instagram and see what I'm doing in my life. You don't need to be connected. Right. If it's not working for you, it's working against you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have to allow ourselves to move through in and out of the job, in and out of the relationship, in and out of whatever doesn't serve us anymore. And society just like, for whatever reason, has a huge problem with that. And I would hypothesize that the problem is, look at her doing what I do, but I don't have the courage.
Dude, that's literally what I said to you earlier. I was like, was any part of you like, because I remember like going through my divorce, parts being like you kind of like have things of embarrassment, you know, times you're like
shame
when someone like asks, like I have to like say or this or that. And then I like one day came to this realization. It sounded better at the time. Like it had like more of like a alliteration. But it was like for every person that's judging, there's like two people who are jealous because it's like that bitch had the strength to like walk away from that. Like, mm-hmm. like, but I remember because like when you're trying to do it for someone else or people be like, oh my God, you were literally with a supermodel or this or that, you know, it's like, cool, but you weren't fucking married to them. You know, like,
well, you know, it takes courage to change. It's a lot easier to just other people from your couch at home.
Yep.
And see what they're doing and play the hater game or the blame game and build these walls of like, well, she doesn't deserve that or he doesn't deserve that or why is she doing that? And it's at the end of the day, it's all unhealed stuff within us and it's all of our own stuff. Mm-hmm. And so when you walk in the world, it takes a lot of courage to change, and you have to be prepared for people who probably love you very much who also aren't going to like it. And so
hashtag my mom from my side.
Yeah. She's still
your side's hurt. My mom like
still can't
has gone through a divorce.
Yeah. No, and that's like
she supports it, but like she in the most like I will go down kicking. Like,
she like is so sweet. She doesn't want to be there. Like she wants to be able to support, but she is just like so broken by it.
I was trying to tell her mom the other day. Her mom is the sweetest lady in the world, and
we were cleaning out my garage.
Cleaning out the garage, moving back in your house that Eliron is no longer in, and your mom was just a mess, and you could see it. And I was like, Mel, I'm like, I'm going through it too. I'm like, do you think I want to be going through this divorce? Do you think I want my family to hate me or pick sides? No, no one fucking wants this. They just have to go through it. I'm like, and she's like, I know I want to show up. I'm here. I'm not leaving. And I'm like, she's like South African. She's so sweet. And we're both like crying and like, she's out in the other room and Liat's like, I just want my mom to leave. Like, if she doesn't want to be here, then just go. And this is 2 years later.
Yeah, no, she's such a sweetie.
Like, she just wants this family unit that isn't, it's society. It's what she knows. And the fact that you broke that family unit for her is still so painful for her. She's like, I live around with this house and it's not a home anymore. There's no Eliron and husband and it's just you.
You should leave names out.
Oh, yeah. We'll take the names out. Alan can
Well, leave. And that's such an amazing illumination of what story can do to a situation where I sit and my own was, I can't wait to see what's next. Right? And so there might not be this, her idea of
more thing to say. I love that. I can't wait to see what's next.
I can't wait to see what's next. Life is happening for me, not to me.
Yes.
And while we might want to hold on and attach ourselves to a story or a home or a marriage to stay safe because it's scary to let it go and change because it feels overwhelming as fuck. What if I said, hey, would you choose to stay this person and never be able to grow and change and maybe be miserable? Or would you rather go through like a great period of pain and discomfort and be better than you ever fucking thought you could be? You would choose that every time. Mm-hmm. Every time. We just don't want to do what we have to do to get there, which is the uncomfortable. That's the only way to get there.
I swear to God, Gianna, you were sent here today as like an angel.
I literally have been like, fine. I was like, you always have a choice. You could go back to living exactly where you were. Like, okay, so I'm like, how would you feel to yourself? Would you be mad at yourself? Would you be happy if you went back? Like, you know, like different things. Because it's hard. I know it hurts.
It's hard to go through it. And it's like, I feel like each day, and I keep saying like, first, when I started going through this, I'd be like, it's day by day. And then I'm like, it's minute by minute. And now I'm like, it's second by second. I literally don't know how I'm going to feel in the next 30 seconds. I might need to go take a nap. I might need to go walk. I might need to go have some fresh air. I might need something. Like, it is coming from, like, you're right. It's going through it. It's like, it's so easy to go around it.
Exactly.
I can really just be like, hey, Matt, I'm really, take our names. Hey, whatever. I'm really, really sorry for like the pain I've caused you. And hopefully you say the same thing to me. And then now that we've had all this like pain, let's work on it. Let's go back to the same way we were before. And it's going to be awesome. And that is bullshit.
Well, it's also attachment. You know, we get real when we are controlling, we are attaching and attachment suffering.
Yes.
And so if we can say, this is where I am, I honor where I am, I believe that life is happening for me, not to me, and I'm so excited to see what's next. It's a huge perspective shift. And it's second to second for you right now because your body's like, oh fuck, this is uncomfortable. Get me out of here. I don't like it. Like it's looking for the escape route, right? Like where I'm hurled out of a plane, my parachute has not opened. I'm trying to pull all the strings, right? Like something to just make me And you just got to fall and hit the ground sometimes and know you'll be okay because you will.
Yeah.
And it's part of it, right? Yeah. And you'll have amazing stories come out of this. I'm sure of it.
I mean, this is one of them right here sitting on the floor right now talking with you and like my aunt being here and Liat being here and Martha being here and just like.
I didn't tell you, I have one of the biggest compliments to give you coming from me, okay? So I don't know what you think about this individual, but like your vibe that you give off coming from me, this is. The second best person, Dr. Phil, number one. Number two, I'm just kidding. You know, I always talk about how, like, Untamed, Lana Doyle's book, like, changed, like, my life in terms of it was, like,
like, that's when it was finally, like, I carried this book around for so long, but, like, I wouldn't actually read it. Like,
I do the same thing. It's been in my backpack for, like, 6 months.
I had read, like, page one, and I'm like, okay, we can't talk about this shit anymore.
This is triggering.
But I, like, carried it with me all the time. It was like, okay, hopefully, like, through osmosis, whatever. But, like, when I was finally ready, have you read it yet?
I have lots of notes and lots of pages, and that's what I've been sending you. I'm opening, I'm like, what?
When I read it, it was like, whoa. And that was like, it was like that one quote that's like, maybe in my next life, as if I had more than one. And like, I just want to tell you that, like, I admire you so much, because everything you're doing is like, you are like the writing of that book. And like, even like Fuckless sounds like it's the same, like the same, like I have, like after like reading Glennon's book, I was like, I have to find something else that like motivates me to the same extent. Like, this is like a no writing I've ever seen. Like that's exactly what you're doing, and you're living it. And like, even your approach to.
What is it?
It's the very first. It's the first picture on her website.
On what is it?
A cheetah.
Oh, ah.
Oh my God.
It's a cheetah on her website. My aunt's
okay,
on
so
it.
By the way, then this is the ultimate compliment to you then, because then you're consistent, because I literally do no research before anything. I've
And I usually do, but I've just been in such a bad place that I'm like, I don't even know. I'm just showing up, hoping I get through it.
Like, you are that. And like, yeah. And even like hearing, like sitting in here for this therapy session, Casey, by the way, I mean, both of us have like got our free share of therapy out of having a podcast from different guests.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But I've sat
none through
a few with Casey mm-hmm. as well. And this one is like you're doing what you're intended to do. Like, you're living.
You're calling. It is you.
You're doing. And like,
yep.
Just it's really cool to see. So thanks for coming and joining us.
Like, you are absolutely the person that was meant to be here for me in this moment today to help me show up better for people around me. When I wanted to just pretend that it was okay and that I was fine and I was fun and we're going to have fun and we're not going to cry and
what?
But like,
not only are we going to cry, we're going to make our noses bleed too.
Well, let me say, first of all, I want to interject. It's important for you to show up for yourself, not everybody else. Everybody else.
I heard that right there. I was about to.
Thank you. I received that compliment and it warms my heart. Thank you so much.
Jana, I cannot wait to connect with you more. And I think our listeners are going to absolutely, hopefully,
be
triggered. And hopefully they'll feel like, oh my God, yep, I'm listening and I'm also crying. And maybe this helps them get through the day or get by second, if it's not minute by minute or day by day, whatever it is, it's okay, which I'm learning. So thank you for being here.
There are no rules, girl, and you are very welcome.
All right. Thank you, Jana. I just love you so much.
Anyone, if you've been looking for your next read,
you have to read Glennon, Fuckless.
After, like I said, I always talk about Glennon's book. So like, that means that you now need to read Fuckless. And I'm just like scared of like the powerful woman we're putting out into this world.
Like, honestly, like,
watch out, world. Like,
watch out, world.
The world needs more powerful women. So like, when like that belief of I have to be small, like, sends lightning rods through my body. And I'm like, no, you fucking don't. And let's work on being bigger and more powerful, because that's where we are in the world right now. Like, the power of the divine feminine and women and everything we have to offer. Like, it is really our time. There's a huge paradigm shift energetically. I mean, just in so many ways. So don't.
I agree. Something's got to
take up space, baby. Take up the space you deserve.
How long did I ever get the fuck out of my way?
That was my thing. When I was getting my divorce thing, I was like,
you either get on board or you get the fuck out of my way.
That's literally what I'd say. And it was like,
anyways, but
all right. So, wow.
Everyone,
so good.
Take what you need. Thank you so much for coming on.
Mm-hmm.
Casey,
I feel like I'm just like, so Martha, I just went downstairs during my nosebleed and she's like, your energy feels so much lighter. And I'm like,
oh my God. I forgot to tell you, drink a ton of water.
I literally am like chugging this and I'm going to drink more.
Drink an embarrassing amount of water because it goes on another level, like on a biological level. That's where the headache comes from, along with the emotional piece of it. But drink a ton of water and just be like really kind to yourself today. You did so much more work than you realized.
I did.
Killing two birds with one stone. Got a podcast episode in, which is like getting done. Okay, so here we are. Guys, thanks for listening. You, where can everyone find your book or like anything about you to like further come to you for anything they need? Where can you be reached?
So you can book consultations with me and reach out to me directly on my website, theexpandedmethod.com. You can learn more about me at GiannaBiscontini.com, and you can buy Fuckless either there or on Amazon, Goodreads, anywhere you can buy books.
Okay, my aunt's going to put those all in the show notes when I share this with her. I know. I'm about to book a service. Yes, me too.
The national episode. Like, could she come over for a little
while? Like, just hang out with us? My aunt's like, I want her to just come
hang out. Where are you guys right now?
Dallas.
Oh, I was like,
yes. Like, I'm kind of bummed she's like in Nashville. Like, I thought maybe she's come over here for a while. I guess when you're from New Hampshire, you assume like everyone else is like a local place.
Back like, up the New Hampshire.
Like, they're like, oh, okay, she's lived other places. Okay, we got it. All right. Okay, we'll have all this in the show notes. So do not worry. You will find it all there.
Where your leg is.
As always, thanks for tuning in. You can find us on our website, behaviorbitches.com. Instagram at Behavior Bitches Podcast, Facebook at Behavior Bitches Podcast. And as always, love ya.
Mean it.
Hey guys, it's Liat.
And Casey.
We just want to take a second to let you know that if you're thinking of being a millennial like us and starting your own podcast, there is a way.
You can do your show without having to become an audio editing and production wizard. Because guess what? We don't know shit with that. But we have Alan at Pretty Easy Podcast who helped us get started. He records our shows. He posts them. He adds awesome, awesome music and cool shit when we don't even know what he's doing. He sends us teaser episodes. He does it all. We just sit here and friggin' talk.
We shoot the shit, and you can record from home, your office, the park, a bathroom stall at work. It doesn't matter. He provides the complete podcast studio. All you need is a microphone, and you're good.
Alan caters to your schedule and gives you a producer for your show at your beck and call. He has been super flexible with our schedule. Whenever we need him, we go to Google Calendar. We just book him. And he does all the hard work. It's like so incredibly easy. That's why it's probably called Pretty Easy Podcast.
So be heard and have some fun podcasting like us. Go to prettyeasypodcast.com today.